Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, Jacob would have had no problem going into Egypt, right? Israel, as we said, he understands that things are different in his life now. That's why he goes to God. And I think the comments as to God reminding him what he once was. I think if you look through the history of the children of Israel, they all call that because of Israel himself. But when, through disbelief and disobedience, God also calls that nation Jacob, because that's what they are in the flesh. When they act outside of his will and in disobedience, he reminds them of that nature that is in them. And so he calls Jacob after what he once was. He is the God that reminds us what we once were, but also the blessings that he has brought us into. And he says, I, God, the God of thy father, fear not to go down into Egypt. This is what he's saying to his own now. The one who he touched. He said, look, I'm God. And as God, I'm telling you, it's okay that you go there. He says, for I will there, in the midst of the world, young people. So while we speak of the fact that we've come up out of it, the reality is that we live in the world. But we're not of it. But in the midst of Egypt, all that is in opposition to God, he's going to make Israel and his offspring a mighty nation, a great nation. He says, I will go down with thee. See, that's the key. Wasn't it Moses that said, if you don't go up with us, we're not going to go. But Jacob and his journeys, you never read him inquiring of God. You never have read God speaking this way. But now God says, it's okay. I will go with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. I'm taking you there for a purpose. You see, because Egypt, though it's in opposition to God, the mind of God, God can even use the world to sustain and take care of his own. They can be in it, but not of it. And then when God has used the world, because he owns all of it, number one, right? When he's finished with his people being there, he says, I'm going to bring you up and put you back into the land of blessing that I have promised to Egypt. He says, and Joseph shall put his hands upon thine eyes. Oh, how this must have cheered the heart of Jacob, that his son that he thought was dead, there was God said, yes, I'll be with you. And that son is going to be able to embrace you, put his hands upon your eyes. What a blessing.
Because it might seem as kind of contradicting the principle that the land of Canaan was the land of their possession. And now, God have said, this is where you go. You don't go back there. This is where you are. Now, what do I do? Does God change his plans? Absolutely not. God has a master plan that is greater and nothing will stop it at all. Number one, his son must be honored in a place where he was rejected. His son must have a place of preeminence, because it is not time for Israel anymore now. It is not Israel, Israel. It's not the time for Israel to behold the glory of Christ. It is Jacob. It is Jacob. Jacob, Jacob. In connection with the glorified Joseph among the Gentiles, it's not Israel. It is Jacob, Jacob. You go there, Jacob, because it is those individuals that come to acknowledge Joseph as ruler among the Gentiles. I'm taking the prophetic line here. But I just want you to understand that there is no contradiction in the scripture at all. So now, those who come to the Lord Jesus, though Jew or Gentiles, Jacob, that's each and every one of us. Doesn't matter what's your birth certificate saying you were born. You are a Jacob. But when you associate yourself with the glorified Christ that is exalted in Egypt among the Gentiles, you would be blessed. But that's not the ultimate thing. That's a transition. You're going to go there. But God has a master plan. Because the whole idea of redemption, the whole idea of deliverance, the whole idea of parting the Red Sea, that's all God's plan. How is he going to accomplish that if they don't go that pathway? So there is a master plan that God has. And for you and I to kind of sit back and to see we are part of that plan. Of course, the ultimate purpose is the honor and the glory of Christ. That's for sure. But you and I now, you see, you don't think of yourself as you are put in this world just to kind of go to school, come to Spruce Lake, go to the meeting, and then get married and die or something. Whatever happens. No. You are put where you are because God has a master plan that his son will be honored and glorified through using you. So he's using Jacob now to send him to Egypt, to have a multiplied of nation. And then he delivers that nation. And the work of redemption will be accomplished, which is a type of what will happen when we look at the cross and the work of the Lord Jesus. So you have a very specific and special place in God's plan. So don't waste your life and your time and 20 years trying to be like Laban or cheating Laban. Don't do that. Realize that if God has put you at school, at college, in a neighborhood, in your own home, God has a plan for you. In your local assembly, what are you doing? Really, 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 what are you doing? How are you in your local assembly further advancing the cause of Christ? Are you a burden on everybody? Or are you a help to everybody? Is it because of you the local assembly is flourishing? And the people of God are edifying? Is it because of you, because the Lord put you here? Or are you just, oh man, here comes him again. God had a plan. And he told Jacob, Jacob, don't worry. You came and you asked me. I am going with you. I'm going to help you there. Because you are part of this purpose that I have to glorify my son.